It is indeed a privilege once again and share the Word of God this morning. We have come this morning to a very famous Bible character, Samson. I think most of us have heard about Samson. Even Hollywood, about 70 years ago, they made a blockbuster called Samson and Delilah. The actor then was Victor Mature. He passed away many years ago. So this group is too young to remember. But I can remind you that Samson is a very famous character both inside the church as well as outside the church. My title today, this morning, is Becoming Weak to Become Strong. The passage I use will cover Judge chapter 14 to 16, the whole story of Samson, but in particular, I focus on Judge 16, the one that we just read. Remember from the last month I came, the first sermon I gave was on Judge Ehud, the first judge that I mentioned in Judge 3, Judge chapter 3, and left hander. He came to deliver the people of Israel. For a left-hander was despised in that culture. Left-hander was a weak person, an outcast. However, God chose him to be the deliverer. That was the first judge that I touch on in chapter 3. 2 weeks ago, I came again for the second time. I spoke on Gideon. Gideon, in the beginning, was very weak. He was scared of his enemies, and he was a skeptic. He was wondering whether the Lord really called him. But gradually, he was affirmed, and later, he became a very mighty warrior, killing thousands and hundreds of the enemy. Today, our story, the final study of the book of Judges, is on Samson. Right, a quick 1 minute or 2 minute reminder of the general story of the book of Judges. The book of Judges, all the narrative is very disturbing, violent, and it's very tragic. And eventually, so-called chosen people of Israel, they have become really canonized. That means they have compromised their faith as well as worship idol. And the end of the book, which is chapter 19 to 21, on the right-hand side, no longer the Israelite fighting outside enemy. They were fighting within their own people. The Benjamin tribe, they fought against all the other Israelis. So the story of the book of Judges, is very sad. They have compromised the faith. They have acculturated. That means their behavior no longer chosen people, holy people. They are, in that period of time, become canonized. No longer chosen people. They even offer child sacrifice as well as moral corruption. There's a spiral degradation or deterioration. Sin, oppression on the right-hand side. They repent a little bit from time to time, and then God sent deliverer, judge to deliver them. They have peace for a period of time, and again, quickly, they return back to sin. That is the whole story of the book of Judges. Right, I've referred this diagram. The early judges, they were all right, but from Judge Gideon, at the end of his life, he built an idol for the Israelite to worship. So by the time of Gideon, the judge are no longer good leader. When the book of Judges gone into, say, 16, Samson is the worst of all judges, and we shall see that. quick background, a quick review of the background. Samson ruled the people of Israel round about, say, 1043 BC to 1023. That was a time when the Israelites have entered the land of Canaan by about 2.5 centuries. So they are no longer alien. They are resident of the land. They are no longer chosen people in terms of behavior. They are Canaanite. They worship the idols of Canaanite. They worship their own self-human-made idol. Right, quickly, Samson's activity basically in present-day Gaza. We have heard Gaza recently quite a lot, and that is his area, which is in the southwestern part of present-day Israel. Right, quickly, two diagrams to illustrate the life of Samson. His early life, which is in the book of Judges, chapter 13 to 16, he is a mighty man, extraordinary strength, but his might, his strength allow him to lead a life, promiscuous life. He loved women and he loved sexual activity, which we will see in 14, 15 and 16. Arrogant as well. That is his early life. Although he was a Nazarite, he no longer behaved as a holy person. And his dying moment, he is in the middle, we just read the passage, he is in the middle of the temple and he pulled the two central pillars and the whole temple collapsed, killing almost all the leading person of the Philistine, the enemy. Right, okay, quickly, of the life story, and then we'll come to the lesson that we can learn from the character of Samson. 13, about his birth, he was chosen by God to be a Nazarite, so he should live a life of worthy of the calling that God set him apart. Chapter 14, he married a Gentile woman, which he's not supposed to do. And then the story of Samson has a hiccup. He revenged the people that he was against was his father-in-law family. Then chapter 16 about his death. Of course, he was tricked by Delilah. Delilah, the woman that really betrayed him. Verse 23, we just read a bit, is about the death of Samson. Quickly, chapter 14, we start with. Samson went down to Timnah and saw a woman, a Philistine woman, that means a Gentile woman. And what did he do? Verse 2 said, I have seen a Philistine woman in Timnah, now get her. He's talking to his parent, get her for me as my wife. That is the character of Samson of his early life. Right, what about we can learn from the study of chapter 14? It's a lot of background. I don't want to go into details. If you have time, you can have a look. I focus on the last part, the early life of Samson, or the normal life of Samson. His character is impulsive. He has got mighty strength, blessed by the Spirit of the Lord. Yet, his character impulsive. A carefree. He couldn't care less. He couldn't care. He saw a woman, he liked the woman. He said, Mother, Father, I want her to be my wife. That's it. Impulsive, carefree. Yet, the Lord used such imperfect person like Samson. Remember the story I've been talking about in the book of Judges. God did not select a perfect person. God select an imperfect person. And the more we see about different judges, the more we see the grace of God, the level of grace that God called different judges is because he loved the people. He wanted to rescue the Israelites. Right, chapter 14. Chapter 14, we have covered a bit of the reason why the Israelites have compromised the faith. I mean, like present days, we are living in Hong Kong, a very cosmopolitan, very materialistic society. It is very tempting to be compromising our Christian faith. Oh, okay, what's the possible reason? I've covered that a bit before. Quickly, for a reason. They were very quick to forget the grace of God. They merely sorrowful for the faith being oppressed by their enemy. They are not really repentant, no repentance before God. Remember the story of Gideon. Gideon was hiding himself. He was skeptical about being called to be a deliverer. But we see no repentance from, say, the judges as well as the Israeli people. They are sorrowful for being oppressed. However, we have not seen any real repentance. The third reason, we are seeing different judges from chapter 3 until chapter 16. All these judges, they have gone from bad to worse. They are not setting good examples to lead the people. The people then follow their leader from bad to worse. And the last reason, I've covered that a bit, but I'll re-emphasize today, is they have oppression, hard power from the enemy, from Philistine, from Midianite, from all different enemies, the warlord of the land of Canaan. Idolatry as well. That city has millions or hundreds of idols, and yet they have compromised their faith. They like it. They worship the idols, and being God's chosen people, they have compromised their faith to an extent. They totally ignore the first faith that they are chosen people. Right, look a bit about hard power and soft power. Simplistically, what I'm saying, hard power is from the enemy, the military power of the enemy. Soft power is the idol, is the idol worship that are numbing their Christian faith or their Yahweh faith. Quickly, in terms of general picture, we talk about power, military power, economic power, soft power. Military power is to do with, say, coercive diplomacy on the right-hand side, using war to threaten, using military force to coerce. This is the hard power. So we can see the Philistine, the Midianite, they oppress the Jewish people by hard power. Economic power as well is a mild form of military power. And the soft power, we could say, is the idol, attraction, agenda setting, value, culture, public diplomacy, lateral, bilateral, and multilateral diplomacy. The people give the idol a little bit and hope that in return, the idol will give something better in return. That is the soft power. And the Israeli people in the land of Canaan, they are tempted and they surrender to the soft power. A bit more about soft power and high power. It's a socialist analyzed by Joseph Nye, is a US political scientist. I think he passed away already. So he analyzed two general power that we are familiar, soft power and hard power. Soft power is, in today, our context is about idol worship. Idol worship attract, cooperate, doing transaction. You give me a bit, I give you a bit in return. Inherent qualities, communicate, charisma, persuasion, rhetoric, example. The hard power, the military threaten, induce, threat, intimidation, payment, reward. And hard power example is you fire, you hire, you demote, you promote, and compensation. These are the power, soft and hard power, that the Israel people are encountering in the land of Canaan, so-called the land of milk and honey. Right. The Israel people have encountered hard power, soft power. They were oppressed. And now we come to the sad ending of Samson. The downfall, verse 17 and verse 28. Delilah is a tempter, is a woman trying to know the secret power of Samson. That's verse 17. And verse 27 is the prayer of Samson. So we read verse 17. Ready, go. So he told Delilah everything. Roll razor has... Because... Okay, verse 28 again. Ready, go. Then Samson. So this is the sad ending of Samson. Samson was shaved and he lost his spirit power. More than that, the enemies pluck out both of his eyes and capture him. However, his hair gradually grew back and he was praying for spirit strength, the verse we just read, and he was able to pull the two pillars of the temple. The observation, the lesson is important for the rest of our day sharing. Samson honored God at that moment. Most of his life, he couldn't care less. Yet, at that moment, he honors God when he is in his weakest moment. Power, power in our weakness. This is the point, the major point from the story of Samson. A UK scholar, he wrote a commentary. Say something about Samson. He said, Samson narrative, the story of Samson begins with a very strong man. Of course, he got Spirit of the Lord. He was a Nazarite. He was chosen by God. His beginning was a strong man, but he was very weak. But it ends with a weak man who is stronger than ever he was before. Becoming weak to become a strong Samson. Samson's life points to Jesus, brother and sister. We sang, we worshiped just now about Jesus, that Jesus have done miraculous things. Remember the story of Jesus. Jesus died on the cross, and the Jesus on the cross was a very weak person. Yet he died on the cross. He was appointed the Son of God in power by his resurrection from the dead. Romans 1:4. The weakest moment after his resurrection from the dead, appointed as the Son of God in power. Let's do a bit of application, applying being weak to become strong. Example of Christ on the cross, and in his most humble state. Some people call it most humiliated state. Die on the cross is not something great, you know. Some people in drama, they fancy dying on the cross. It seems it was a dramatic, funny moment. But in Jesus' time, dying on the cross is a shame. On the cross, his most humble state. Yet, Jesus is able to give God the highest glory. Remember the song we just sang, the last song that we just sang. The highest glory. to reconcile humanity with God. So you and I, we should seek not so much hard power or soft power. We should seek Christ center, smart power, becoming weak to become strong in Christ. Lesson to learn. Becoming weak. Let's think a bit more about this particular application. Becoming weak to become strong. Only when you and I know our weaknesses, then we realize there is God-given inner strength in your heart. You believe in Jesus. Jesus' righteousness become your righteousness. You are united with Christ. By the Spirit of the Lord, there is inner strength inside you. Only when you acknowledge you're weak, then you realize that I'm united with Christ, the Spirit of the Lord is with me, then I become strong. And by realizing the spiritual power inside you, that enables you to avoid the pitfalls of Samson's life. Samson led a terrible life. And the only thing that he can teach us is becoming weak. And by the grace of God, we can become strong. Strong for what? Is it like Samson pulling down two pillars? No. We are strong in today's society. Strong for discipleship, brother and sister. I think for the last 10 years, 5 years, churches in Hong Kong really highlight the topic of discipleship. Strong to follow Jesus, brother and sister. This is the whole idea of Christians walking daily with the Lord. In our weakest moment, we follow Him. It is acknowledging our weakness that we become strong. And God's enabling in various areas. I just give you 4 areas. Change, growth, challenge, and breakthrough. What do I mean by that? Change. Instead of using hard power, coercion, forcing others, we use Christ center smart power. We use diplomacy, conversation, dialogue. This is the way that Jesus has been doing. Change, not easy. Some people will say, I am who I am. I do what I want to do. You forget about your way of doing things. You follow mine. This is way of doing things. And we can change that. How can we change that? By knowing that I'm weak. My power, seemingly strong, in fact, it was very weak. Growth. Remember, I used the example that knowledge and action is inseparable. I think everywhere you study the Bible, head knowledge is, I'm sorry to say, not 100% effective. It's only head knowledge and action together. The two, knowledge and action, is inseparable. Only the two comes together, then there's growth. Growth doesn't mean that you memorize the whole Bible. I know one character, one person who could memorize Psalm 119. Psalm 119. You know how many verses in that psalm? Go home and look at it. He can memorize word by word Psalm 119. But does it mean that he can perform all the biblical truth? Growth is something that knowledge and actions come together. Growth is to enable us not only to know the knowledge, but also do it. Growth is action. Get it done. Growth is able to do what we have not done before. That is growth. Discipleship is about growth. The third point, challenge, is able to do you have not been able is able to do what you have not been able to do before. Serving in the church is a challenge, you know that. Just now I heard about a young person for the first time playing the piano. It's a challenge. Am I wrong? Am I right, young man? It's a challenge. Is there a challenge? That means you are doing something you have not done before. And only if you acknowledge that you are weak, then you can take the first step, the second step, and the third step. It's not so much, I know everything. I'm a good performer. I can do it, no problem. Challenge is able to do you have not been able to do. The last point is the most important, breakthrough. I think you and I have heard a lot about discipleship training, intentional discipleship training. They always have a part of the program called Breakthrough. I'm not sure whether young folk have Breakthrough conferences. Breakthrough means you are able to do you do not dare to do. You need the strength. You need being strong to follow Jesus, to have a breakthrough. I used to serve in Evangel Seminary full time. I'm doing part time now because I've retired. And every year, in those times, every year there are a number of students applying to study seminary full time. And hopefully they will become church worker or pastor after the graduation. It is a change of their life. It's a moment of breakthrough. It's not easy for them. They quit the job, and very often they are the only breadwinner in the family. They give up the job, they give up their career, they give up the savings because they want to follow Jesus. A change of life. However, by faith, they had to break through. And they came to be trained for 3 years, for 4 years, to become church worker. Discipleship means breakthrough to follow Jesus. In addition to change, growth, challenge, it takes a weak person, a person who acknowledges that they are weak, to become strong in order to follow Jesus here and now. Conclusion. I share about the character of Samson. Samson, in the beginning, he got hard power, the spirit of the Lord. He bullied everybody. He liked a woman, he wanted a woman to be his wife, regardless whether the woman is a Gentile or a Jewish person. He abused the gift of God. I think that is very sad. Yet God uses the imperfect Samson to deliver his people. Remember what I said last time, 2 weeks ago. God does not choose the perfect. He chooses the imperfect. Jesus, he has come to save the sinners, not the righteous. You and I are ready to admit we are weak in order to be used by God. God chose the imperfect Samson to deliver his people. When Samson is weak, then he prays and is able to exercise power of the Spirit. The lesson today, the major lesson, brothers and sisters, we seek a Christ-centered smart power. important that we know our own weaknesses. Never arrogant, never being proud that we are gifted. Only when we know our weaknesses, then we begin to exercise God-given inner strength by His grace. And it is becoming weak to become strong. Strong for what? Strong for discipleship, to follow Jesus, to be changed, to grow, to meet challenges, and to undergo breakthrough. Let us pray. Father, we thank you once again that we can learn from your word, from the character of Samson. Father, we thank you that we are being reminded only when we know our weaknesses, when we come to your face, your encounter with you, we pray, then we are able to be strengthened by you. We thank you for these three characters that we study, Ehud, Gideon, as well as Samson. We thank you that God has come to choose the imperfect. Jesus has come to save the sinner. We thank you for this biblical truth. May we be reminded all the times that you are the gracious Lord. You are always faithful to your covenant and come to our rescue. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.